good friend, Pastor Mike Cantrell. Come on up here, big champ.
What's up?
Champ, you mean connect that to you? You all right?
Champ, I'm getting it together. I'll get it while Dave's talking. How you guys doing?
I want to pray for you first, hero.
Well, you still wearing that same old jersey?
I've been wearing that jersey
for 15 years.
I can finally
this
wear
it. This is your year.
This is the year of the Chiefs, baby.
Woo! I don't know about that, but we'll see.
Father, thank you for Mike. Thank you for what he means to our church. God, as one that planted this church and God grew this church, his heart beats for this church. God, use our friend to minister to us today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. I'll hold this, yeah, for my man. So good to see you guys. Good to be home here in Clarksville. I did bring two of my babies with me right here that grew up in Clarksville. This is my second daughter, Molly, who's a senior in high school and will be attending Austin Peay State University in the fall. And my fourth child, my third daughter, Abigail, is here as well. And so they wanted to come. Obviously, this has been home to them. Before I get started, I want to introduce you to a friend of mine. I've had the privilege of meeting him in our Brentwood church, and now where we attend church, where I'm serving on Sunday morning, is in Murfreesboro. And I just wanted you to hear a little bit of his story. I only gave him 2 or 3 minutes, but he's done a whole, if you guys are familiar with I Am Second, he and his wife have done an I Am Second video that you could go and watch and see in more detail, but it's powerful. This is Dave Robbins. Dave is a singer-songwriter, and he's more famous than he would want me to tell you. But anyway, what I love about him is he's an incredible man of God. So, Dave,
thank you, guys.
Enlighten
us. Thank
you,
Mike. Love you, man. Thank you, guys. How you doing? Yeah, I don't have a highlight reel for you today. There's probably going to be a lot of highlight reels after tonight on ESPN, you know. I have a pretty good bloopers reel, though. I grew up going to church. We were there every time the doors were open. And back when I grew up, that meant Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday nights, Tuesday night visitation, all the deal. Youth trips, mission trips, all that. As I grew up and got out on my own and moved to Nashville, it was a very slow, subtle evolution of me moving away from God. I didn't even know it at the time. But I started, you know, I had no discipleship in my life. I didn't have another man in the church that mentored me. I didn't have a brother that I was in contact with. I wasn't involved in any small groups or Bible studies. I wasn't active in a church. I wasn't doing anything. And, you know, I was out there on my own, in my own power, and it got me to a place that, you know, we hear how far sin will take us and how long it'll keep us there. That's my experience. Really briefly, because I don't have long, I ended up moving so far away from God. You know, I got into extramarital relationships and about destroyed my marriage. I thought I was going to leave my family. I decided I want this. I'm leaving. I'm out of here. And my wife, when everything came to a head, you know, a lot of her friends, especially her church friends, said, you know, you are going to leave him, right? Because you should. And I'm so glad that she had that choice that she could do that. And I think biblically she had a reason. And I'm so thankful she decided to not do her own will, and she decided to do God's will. And God had another plan for us, and this is hard for me to even talk about, but man, we walked into Bethel Brentwood. I'm just cutting everything short here because we walked into Bethel Brentwood, and we after the service, there was, I turned to my wife, and I said what James and Janae were talking about. I said, I think we're home, and we got down to the front to pray with somebody, and they couldn't get freed up to pray with us. And there was a lady standing there by herself, and Marilyn said, let's pray with her. So we leaned over to her, and we briefly shared really quick our story. And she said, hang on, let me get my husband. And she said, Mario, get over here. And Mario and Karen Smith sat there with their arms around us and prayed for us. And they said, you're home. And we knew we were. And Mario said, what's your phone number? Gave him his phone number. my phone number. He gave me his. He said, I'm going to send you a text in a little while, and he'll tell you a little bit more about my story. And he sent me this text after church. It said, read John chapter 8. He said, that's my story. So I couldn't wait to get home. I got home, I opened my Bible, and it was the story of the adulterous woman, the woman caught in adultery. And I read that, and I understood what it meant to be forgiven. Having sinned so much in my life, I knew what it felt like, what grace felt like. So we knew we were home. Fast forward to last year, we moved to Mount Juliet, and we decided to visit Bethel Murfreesboro because Pastor Brock had come to Brentwood and spoke for about 5 minutes, and I was like, this guy can really preach, man. He's really good. So we decided to visit. I walk in the front door, and there's Christy Cantrell, and she goes, what are y'all doing here? And we said, what are you doing here? And she said, we're here. And she said, hang on, Mike will be here in a second. So he shows up, and he goes, what do you do? Are you stalking me or what? And because I got to tell you, I fell in love with this guy from the moment I talked to him, and I affectionately have always referred to him as Pastor White Mike, because we had some Pastor Black
Mikes. We had so many
Mikes,
yeah.
In Bethel.
I was White Mike in Brentwood.
Yes, and if you go to my phone, it says White Mike when he calls me. But anyway, we've plugged into Bethel there, and I want to encourage all of you, get plugged in. Like they were talking about earlier, don't stand on the sidelines. Get in the game. We've got, men's groups, all kind of groups, singles, married. I can't do this in 3 minutes. Good
Just
night.
Say amen.
Amen. God Just get you. Plugged in. Love you guys.
Amen. Get plugged in.
Thank God for his grace. Woo.
Like a good singer-songwriter. He made that rhyme. Amen. Get plugged in. Well, that's what today is all about, and we're talking about I love my church, and I do appreciate Pastor Lance bringing. I think Pastor Brock, who he mentioned, is he coming next week? So Pastor Brock will be here next week, so you'll get a chance to meet the guy that Dave was talking about. He's my pastor now in Murfreesboro. And so let's dive right in. Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for your church. I pray, God, that every person here today, especially when I finish up, God, wouldn't see this, God, as a sales pitch, but God would see it as a lifeboat. That God, did you sent the church as a gift to be a blessing, to benefit us, and that you would be glorified through it. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I've been a pastor for a long time, and I've talked to a lot of knuckleheads. And I've been a knucklehead. I've asked my wife, it was as late as last night. But I get it all the time because our world, especially here, I mean, it's amazing. Dave, he wasn't an atheist or a Buddhist or a Muslim. Yeah, he loved God. He would have called himself a Christian. But yet he went down a road that let him, he didn't look anything like a Christian, right? Yeah. And it's because he left the basic principles that God has put in place to benefit us. And it's subtle and it's easy. I mean, I get it all the time. I have, this comment. I have a favorite person I listen to on a podcast. Yeah. I listen faithfully. Do I still need to go to church? Right. Isn't it enough just to have my podcast preacher? Good. I hear it all the time. My kids, man, they're super active and they have a good friend group and they're involved in sports or dance and they go to a Christian preschool and We every once in a while we have a small group in our home. Isn't that enough? Or a local businessman that says, I'm super busy, but I read my Bible. I've got a Christian brother I pray with when I'm desperate. I go to a once a month, businessman's Christian lunch, eat too much. Isn't that enough? I'm a busy college student. I'm really not from here. I don't really, I have a home church. I'm from Memphis, and I'm busy, and I've got school, and I've got this internship, and I've got this stuff, and and even sometimes, and I love Vince and Miranda and everybody in the campus ministry, but it's like, and I'm kind of connected to a campus ministry, and we pray together once a week. Isn't that enough? And often when we get this question, it's amazing. You don't really know what to say, so you just use Hebrews chapter 10. Let us not give up on meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. And then, it's like when you bring that question to me, it's like one verse. That's all you could come up with. Like, that's it. Like, Is that enough, really, you know? And then there's the tough question that us parents get because, you know, kids are busy, their schedules are hectic, their weekends are precious to them, and especially teenagers love to sleep. Can I get an amen? Amen. So I get, do I have to go to church? And then parents, well-meaning parents, we come up with something like, well, families, you know, we sit them down and we give them like the halftime speech. Families do certain things together, and this is something we do together. You know, our family, we go to, you know, family reunions at Grammy's house, and we cheer for each other at games, and we support each other when we're going through difficult stuff, and we worship together at church. So get your butt in the car. I mean, this may appease a seven-year-old, but is it enough? I mean, does it really, like, does it matter when the rubber hits the road, you take a few Sundays off, you get that sun, you get that extra sleep, you go to that Sunday brunch, you tune in early to all the NFL hype, and then like you're like, man, I've been missing this, and this is relaxing. I can turn my fire on, and I can have a mimosa, and man, this is nice. Isn't that enough? According to a new Pew Research Center study, that's hard to say, Pew Research Center is people that study church, they did an interview of 5,000 Americans and revealed that why they don't go to church. The number one reason is they practice their faith in other ways. Wow. I can tell you, Dave thought, hey, I'm a Christian. I can read my Bible on the road. I can pray. I know Jesus. I was a good church kid. I guarantee that's the lie he believed. Right? They say they haven't found a church they like, which is interesting. So they practice their faith in other ways. Or they simply find other things to do on a Sunday instead of coming to church. Church is not something you do individually. The whole concept. It's not something that you do individually. To be a follower of Christ is not just what you do by yourself. It's what you do together with other people. I mean, I love that it's Super Bowl Sunday because God designed church as a team sport. And you might go, well, church is irrelevant. I have my own private relationship with God, and it's so private I don't tell him or myself. Then you just think, what would Jesus do? Well, I'll tell you what Jesus did. Jesus went to church. Even Jesus. Jesus knew Jesus as good as Jesus could know any Jesus. And he still went to church. Jesus said in Luke 14, says, Jesus went back to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as usual, he went to the meeting place on the Sabbath. If Jesus needed the church. Wow, he realized that God had designed the church for our benefit and for his glory. God, this is not man's idea. You are actually attending something that the architect and designer is God. It goes all the way back to the Trinity where there is community, where there is one God. Right? But in three persons, and there's this sense of community. And he said, my people need community like I have community. And so you think about it, from the natural birth to the born again rebirth experience, God adds you to family. He does it not so that Pastor Lance and Pastor Richard can turn in their numbers on Monday morning. He does it to save your life. He does it for your benefit. Bill Hybels, pastor up in Chicago, said, we must never forget that God created the church as a vehicle of blessing to the whole world. He says the church is God's plan A to redeem the world, and he has no plan B. Now, we have plan Bs. Podcast, television, small, you know, this group or that group or my prayer friend or you know, we did say the Star Spangled Banner at the football game, or, you know, my kid, you know, all that stuff. We can justify it. The church is God's eternal plan to change the world. Jesus said, I will build my church. He is the owner. He is the architect. He is the designer. And he designed it for our benefit and for his glory. I mean, you just heard story after story. I don't even have to preach. There's nothing special about James. But his story is he benefited from the local church and God got the glory. Dave benefited from the local church and God got the glory. I'm going to give you simply three quick benefits that I can give you this morning. And these are going to be like so revolutionary that you're going to be like, wow, Pastor Mike, this is all you could come up with. But we have to be reminded, don't we? We have to be reminded, don't we? Here's number one. God has designed the church as a place we connect with his unique presence. So there's a presence that's available to you at all times. And we should be presence people. If you're a follower of Christ, you ought to be a presence carrier. And you can take that presence with you everywhere you go. Believe it or not, it might sound a little awkward, but he's in your car, he's in your shower, he's in your closet. I mean, he's a lot of places. He's anywhere you want him to be because he is omnipotent and you can encounter God in that way. But there is something unique about when the people of God come together. The Bible actually says that God inhabits or dwells in the presence, right, of his people, in the praises and worship of his people. The God of the universe comes down to be with us in a unique and special way, in a divine way when we come together. In an imperfect way. This church isn't perfect. If you're looking for the perfect church, every time you show up, you screw it up because you're not perfect. It was perfect till you got there. I love that, you know, that Evan's up here all over the place and trying to find his place in the song because he's not perfect. But you don't have to be, brother. We're looking for a perfect church, and then you show up and you mess it up. I was the only reason my church was never perfect. I was the weak link. 1 John says, look at this. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes. Get this. Get all of the senses. Heard, seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. That life was made manifest and we have seen it and testified to it and proclaim it to you, the eternal life, which was the Father and was made manifest to us, that which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is the Father and with his Son, Jesus. John could truthfully write that he had seen, heard, and touched Jesus. The word of life. He writes the joy of knowing and experiencing the presence of God. And he invites us into that fellowship with him so that together we may encounter it. Are you with me? I mean, if you think about it, there's something reverent just about being simply inside a church. There's nothing holy necessarily about a temple. We're talking about the assembly of the people, but a place dedicated to God, whether it's St. Paul's Cathedral. I don't know if we have that screen. Yeah, I've been there in London. You walk in that place and you feel God. Or whether it's something that maybe we grow up in some little white church, like you walk in that church, you will feel the presence of God. Or maybe it's this church where you encounter God and you meet him in a unique way right here on Sunday morning. Because God does something amazing when we gather together. I want to take you back just for a second about to the Old Testament. The people of Israel are on this journey. They come to this huge mountain and they have an encounter with God that would forever change the people of God, Israel. He comes in a manifold way. There's fire. There's shaking. I mean, you can't even think, okay, I'm journeying in the wilderness. I come to this big mountain. I'm going to come to meet with God. And God is sweet. And he is kind. And he is love. And the mountain starts shaking. And it catches fire. And there's lightning and thunder and smoke. And a voice comes. And on that day, he gives the Ten Commandments. And forever, in that moment, the people of God have known they have met with God. And so they never want to forget it. Like us, we memorialize days, right? I mean, we have days that are kind of stuck in our head. I had written some of them down so that I wouldn't forget them, but now I've forgotten them. I mean, even something as simple as, you know, like obviously holidays, but Black Friday. We don't want to forget the day that the TVs go on sale. Or Independence Day. Or who could forget 9/11? 9/11 means something when we say it. And so for this day, the people of God wanted to have some way to memorialize and remember this day. And so they were, I mean, I'm sure they were like us. Man, what are we going to call this day? Maybe we should call it God Came Down Day. Or what about Ten Commandments Day? Yeah, that's good. That's real good. Forever, that day was known as this, the Day of the Assembly. Go read it in your Bible in Deuteronomy. What they figured out that day is what I'm trying to communicate to you right now, that when the people of God come together, when they assemble, God comes in a way that is jaw-dropping, that is powerful. And we all ought to expect, hey, I'm going to church. And God is going to meet me in a unique way. And I ought to have an attitude that I want to engage Him in the fullness, which means I can't just come and sit in a chair and eat popcorn. Can I get an amen? God encounters us in an amazing way. And I could go more into that, but I'm going to move on for the sake of time. You know, Paul, when he was talking about the church over in Corinthians, he said, man, when God comes in a powerful way in your worship services, the unbeliever, the one that doesn't know God, will come in and will say, surely God is among you. That's the kind of church we want to be. That's what it is when we say we value devotion. We're talking about devotion is not just an individual value. We're not talking about personal devotions. We're talking about a corporate value of being devoted to God, sold out to God, hungry for God, pursuing more of God. All we want in this church is to have you encounter God more and more and more and more. And you can, and the thing is, the truth is, there's more. That should be good news. We need to receive this gift. The second thing is this: God has designed the church to give us an opportunity to connect with His unique people. His unique presence, His unique people. I mean, all through the Bible, He talks about, He says, I mean, He tells Abraham all the way back in Genesis that through him, all the families of the nations would be blessed. How many know those families are dysfunctional? How many of those families have every problem that you can imagine, the ones you like and you don't like? How many know those families that God was speaking to Abraham about, I mean, there was dysfunction, there was divorce, there was remarried, there was interracial relationships, there was transgender kids. Because when God said that, time is still continuing. So when He said, through you, all the families of the nation will be blessed, Abraham, He was talking about me. And I know my family's tore up from the floor up. Like, you are actually speaking to Abraham about my family. Are you kidding me? And then He says, look, on the last day, Jesus is coming back, and we're going to have a worship service like you've never imagined. He says over in Revelation, look at this. If you don't believe me, this is what's coming. We sang about it in the second song. After this, I looked and behold a great multitude. I didn't like half of them. I didn't like the ones that didn't vote like me. I didn't like the ones that weren't born in a place like me. I didn't like the way they looked. I didn't like the food they ate. I didn't like the music they listened to. But guess what? On the last day, there's a multitude gathered and we're going to all be together. I love that we say around here that if you don't like heaven, you're probably not going to like Bethel. Because what we're trying to do here is have a cross-section, a slice of what it's like in heaven with what the Bible says. From, there's people that no one could number from, I mean, there's a crowd. I know some of y'all don't like crowds. From every nation, from all tribes, all peoples, all languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. I mean, we might as well go ahead and repent from our racist attitudes and our bad stuff and the things we don't like now, because we're going to repent then when we're worshiping in languages we don't know. Standing beside people we don't like. So you might as well get it right now. The Bible tells us every knee will bow, every tongue will confess, Jesus Christ is Lord. And if Jesus is Lord, I'm not Lord. That means before I'm a Democrat, I'm a Christian. Before I'm a Republican, I'm a Christian. Before I get on Facebook and give some rant, I'm a believer. I'm preaching. Not only a diversity of people, but a diversity of gifts. The reason we're going to have a volunteer sign up today is simply because Pastor Lance, Pastor Richard, this amazing leadership team, they don't have all the gifts. As gifted as they are, they're limited because God designed it that way. Now, some of you grew up Baptists, and y'all know how to have a supper on the grounds. Y'all knew how to have the family meal. Like, you actually brought vegetables, dessert. Now, you did leave the potato salad out too long, but charismatics don't know how to do that. All they know to do is go down to Publix and get some chicken. And so, in the charismania world, when you get together, all you get is chicken. And that's not very exciting, is it? There's not four food groups. There's no appetizers, unless somebody got wings. And then, you know. How boring is that? But we're called to be the body of God in Christ. And I don't have the time to read the scripture, but 1 Corinthians 12 tells us that God designed it with a unique gifts. All of one spirit, and I don't know, as great as I am, and I'm great, I am limited. I need my brothers and sisters. God designed it that way because He understood that the church is not an individual sport. It's a team sport that would be interdependent from the beginning. And while we do have people that are gifted much more than I am to get up out of the crowd and come up here and preach, or get up out of the crowd and come up here and lead worship, all they do is get out from among us. They're not here. They don't come from a curtain behind and impose themselves on us. The people of God are just using the gift of God that they placed on them and the calling of God to get up out from underneath, like in us, and walk up here and use their gifts. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, if Pastor Lance never unwrapped his leadership gift, if he never unwrapped his preaching gift, and he said, you know what, I just don't know how I feel today, and you know, I'm tired, and I don't even really like this church anyway, and I'd much rather be playing golf on Sunday morning, which I know is a daily challenge for him. Then you know what? We would be missing a piece of the puzzle at Bethel Community Church. And God, because He loves the church more than we do, talking about I love my church, He loves it more than we do, He'll raise somebody else up. And you'll just be skipped over and never find your divine purpose, which is my third reason. When you come to church, you connect to your divine purpose. Your purpose is not about you. Your purpose is about growing spiritually to become more Christ-like, to become more like Him. And in that, here's the secret. Let me just read this to you. Ephesians 4. We'll start to land a plane. I'm at least circling. Ephesians 4 said, and He gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro with waves carried by the wind and doctrine, by human cunning, blah, blah, blah. Verse 15, rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way. Part of our purpose is growing up, isn't it? Into Him who's the head, Christ, from the whole body, joined and held together by every joint, which is it is equipped. When each part is working properly, makes the body grow. When each part is working properly, it makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Paul tells us that we benefit from the gift of the church because it's God's agent to grow us up into our divine purpose. My pastor's job is not to minister to me. My pastor's job is to equip me to connect to my purpose, my God-given purpose. I don't have to believe that I'm not ready to be used by God yet because the Bible tells me I'm ready to be used now. Whatever I bring, God says, bring it and give it to me. I'll bless it, break it, multiply it, and use it. And we can't really give in to this religious idea that no one can minister until they're mature, because what this says is that maturity only comes if we minister. Meaning a lot of y'all are as stagnant and as stale as three-day-old bread because you continue to just eat on the same diet and you're not actually being used and activated. And when you do that, when you say, God, here I am, use me. Broken, frail, imperfect, sinning, jacked up, this, but I got my eyes on you, Jesus. Then and only then do we grow and connect to our purpose. So when the church is for our benefit, it's a place where we encounter His unique presence. It's a place where we consider His unique people. I mean, look around, y'all are unique. And it's where we find our unique purpose. But if we don't engage the church, if we don't become fully engaged, then we're not going to really realize the fullness of what God came to give us. Amen? I just wrote this down, and I'll say this and pray. We don't give up on church, even in its imperfection, because God refuses to give up on it. We participate in church because God participates in church. Aren't you glad God moves? Aren't you glad God showed up this morning? Man, God could have stayed in bed. I don't feel like being God today. And I say this, I love my church because God does. Can we stand and pray? Father, thank you. Today I pray we would understand that it's not just about having enough people to sing or to take care of the kids or to this. God, we would